I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is the president-elect, whether you like it or not. Donald Trump will be the 45th and 47th president. And outside of a couple pauses during the show, he will be the dominant topic. He should be the dominant topic. As we said on Monday, he pulled off the greatest upset in political history in 2016 when he shocked pretty much everybody. And considering what happened with January 6th, including what Republicans thought of him from later in the day, January 6th to January 7th, he seemingly was done. And last night he said, au contraire, I am not done. He wins decisively. He right now is up in the popular vote by 5 million. He continues to lead in the remaining swing states. He won the previously called swing states. This is a borderline landslide. And we have excellent guests all throughout the show. We want your feedback throughout the show. You can gloat. You can call me out. You can praise your guy. You can express your concerns for the country. You always can chime in. 651-461-9226. Let's bring in the former governor of this state, Tim Pawlenty, as an astute mind on politics, including this presidential race. And Tim is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir. After a very busy night, let me start with the most broad, simple question and then get very specific. Why did Donald Trump win in such a resounding fashion last night?
Good afternoon to you, Chad, and your WCCO listeners. I think Donald Trump won last night because he had a tremendous understanding with and an advantage with the key issues that concern persuadable voters in swing states. And he also was able to bring some new voters to his coalition, and I'll get into that in just a second. But when you have as the top issues illegal immigration, inflation/economy, crime, and wokeness run amok in various forms, and that's on the Republican side of the ledger. And on the other side, you have the abortion issue, which is helpful to the Democrats in some areas. He had the much stronger political poker hand by far. And then you add to that, people had already become accustomed to his personality, whether you like it or don't. And so no matter what else he said or did, it really didn't matter. They were focused on these issues. And then lastly, I would add that Vice President Harris, you know, what many would say, was an underwhelming vice president and an underwhelming candidate when she wasn't on the teleprompter, when she wasn't rehearsed for the debate, and she was presented to do or asked to do the few substantive interviews that she did. She didn't do very well. And then she had to carry sort of the baggage or the weight of an incumbency being so closely attached to Biden as well. So those are some of the factors. There's others as well, but those are some of the big ones.
Yeah, those are big ones, and as is the norm, I agree with so many of your points. Let's just emphasize the first two that you mentioned. If you have overwhelming favorability regarding the economy, and it was just poll after poll where the voters were asked, who do you trust more with the economy over the next 4 years? Or sometimes it was phrased, was the economy better under Donald Trump or Joe Biden? You have that. And let's just bring immigration and safety together. And then you have, who do you trust with the safety of this country? And the polling was, again, overwhelming with Donald Trump. Voters and listeners right now don't have to agree with that. They can say, no, I mean, people are underplaying the economy and people are missing the recovery, what Harris and Biden did late, by the way, way too late. And some of the crime numbers are getting better. It's not 100%. But as you know, Tim, those numbers enormously swung to Donald Trump. And that is incredibly difficult to overcome if you're the opposition, in particular if the candidate opposing him, to me, is mediocre at best.
I agree with all of that, Chad, and to just amplify it a little bit, you know, two of the great questions in politics at the presidential level in terms of predictive value are you better off 4 years ago than you are now, or are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the second one, is the country on the right track or wrong track? And on both of those scores, the incumbent party, you know, people overwhelmingly thought the country was on the wrong track, and they overwhelmingly thought they were worse off than 4 years ago. And that's a very, very difficult environment for the perceived incumbent to overcome. And then you add to that, you know, she starts out as a, I mean, to be very blunt, you know, quite left. And, you know, she had to flip-flop on, she wanted to ban fracking, then she didn't. She wanted to have single-payer health care, then she didn't. She wanted to, you know, have the tax increases in a certain way and get rid of fracking, and then she didn't. And it's just her economic message, to the extent it existed, was basically, I didn't mean what I said when I represented San Francisco and California in the Senate all those years, and I'm not quite as extreme left economically as you might think, and people just didn't buy it.
Okay, let's talk about another point that you raised again. The former governor, Tim Pawlenty, is with us. It's 12-12 on WCCO.
Oh, by the way, Chad, one important thing. You know, she had an interview, yeah, and I think this sums it up, too. I think it was Dana Bash interviewed her and said, you know, in terms of the Biden economic agenda, to the extent people are not better off than they were 4 years ago, and citing the polling data, is there anything you'd change or do different? And she said no. And then the other thing she said is, you know, about inflation, do you take any responsibility for it? And she digressed onto these new, you know, proposals for various subsidies. But, you know, it's clear the Federal Reserve itself declared that the Biden-Harris spending policies triggered some substantial portion of the inflation, and no recognition or acknowledgement or understanding that, you know, she needed a message we wouldn't do that again if she wanted to control inflation in the future.
You know, okay, I'm going to pivot because I think that's a good point. I think that Biden and Harris struggled incredibly in conveying that if the economy comes to a halt, and because of the pandemic, the worldwide economy came to a halt. And it started with President Trump, just because he was the president, and he put a great deal of money out for citizens, and I think most people would have done it. And then the Biden-Harris campaign administration continued, including the last one, which was heavily criticized. They could not make the point, Tim, that it is improving better here than it has worldwide. I made this point yesterday. It was almost an impossible point to make because they had to own the ownership. Nobody in politics wants to own up to anything right now. They don't want to own up, including to a mistake. And if somebody's listening in South St. Paul right now and they're going to the grocery store and they're buying the food that they normally buy when they go to the grocery store, and they remember what it costs in 2017, 2010, just traditionally before the pandemic, to be honest, Tim, they don't give a you-know-what that the economy and inflation is coming back better here than it is in Paris, London, and other comparable Western nations.
Absolutely. And, in fact, to your point, if inflation normalizes back down to 3 or 2% currently, that doesn't make up for the 20% increase in core goods and services over the last few years. And so, yes, is it slowed down in the rate of increase presently at the moment? Yes. Is that better than much of the rest of the world? Yes. But the fact is, when you go buy your loaf of bread, your milk, your gas, your other things, and it's 20% higher than just a couple of few years ago, that ticks you off, and it's hard. And one last thing on this point, if you look at the overlay, and CNN did this work as well, if you look at the overlay where wage growth did not keep up, you know, the biggest deficit between wage growth and inflation over the last few years, it overlays almost exactly in the areas where Trump did best.
The former governor of the state, Tim Pawlenty, is with us. Let's get to another point you raised where you look in so many areas where Donald Trump has improved from 2020 to this race. It is demographic after demographic. How did he pull that off, considering the way he left D.C. when I think about 90%+ of the public said, okay, he's not going anywhere because he's so visible, but his political career is dead?
some of the most remarkable attractions to the Trump coalition. And by the way, this is a watershed moment in American and presidential politics. I think it represents a shifting of the political templates in a variety of ways. It transforms the Republican Party nationally without question. And in part, it's because he brought the working class, you know, the so-called Sam's Club Republicans, which I used to talk about, to my party. He's also brought new groups. And so he lost Hispanic men last time by 23 points, according to the exit polling, and he won them. Let me repeat that. He won Hispanic men, according to the exit polling, by 8 points this time. If that holds up in the actual results and people do
that's
all the
stunning.
Analysis, that is stunning. He also grew his percentage of black men in terms of the voting Republican and men more broadly. And then he also just turned up the turnout in certain rural areas and areas where he did well with his base constituency. That's just some of the highlights, but it is a really, really big moment in terms of whether that Trump coalition can keep growing those pieces. And if they do, the narrative that the Republican Party is doomed with diverse communities is not true. There's life and hope in the prospect that Republicans can attract more and more support from diverse communities.
We're going to finish up in a couple moments, and I want texters to text me already. If you are excited about the second presidency of Donald Trump, what excites you most? What intrigues you most? And if you're concerned about Donald Trump, what concerns you most? So let me go to you on that point. There are so many Democrats and observers who are fearful because it's his second term. He might have 55 votes in the Senate. He may have control of the House. That's going to take a while. We have the Supreme Court ruling, which gives any president, including Joe Biden right now, by the way, greater immunity. The feeling is that he's going to be more prepared to have people who truly support his policy surrounding him, not as folks who are holding him back. So for the folks who cite all those and say, man, I truly fear what is going to happen. This is going to be much further than the first term. What do you say to those folks?
Well, there's risk and truth in all of that, Chad. There's risk and truth in all of that. But there's also some positives, which is even though it's Trump appointed, the Supreme Court, people who are appointed for life don't necessarily like to just do everything that people assume they're going to do. So there's protection and guardrails there. The U.S. House is still out, and there may be some counterbalancing yet to take place in the House count. We'll see. And there may be some lessons learned. By the way, there's still a traditional media. It's, not what it used to be, but in terms of oversight and transparency and investigation. So there's that. But here's the positive side. People, I think rightly, are very, very fed up with uncontrolled illegal immigration. So it's pretty clear, administratively or legislatively, a new Trump administration is going to make substantial progress on throttling illegal immigration and making it a legal, appropriate system. Two, you can probably say broadly that, at least from a Republican standpoint, Trump's going to be better for the economy and hopefully will keep inflation low, although that remains to be seen. And those are big issues. And I think he's also going to be, kick some tail on crime. I mean, he's just not somebody who's going to tolerate a lot of defund the police. And I mean, from a policy standpoint, kick the tail. He's not going to tolerate, at least rhetorically, local jurisdictions letting things get out of control. And I think that'll be helpful. But beyond that, all the risks that we all know about in terms of his personality, impulsiveness and some of the tendencies you mentioned, they all exist for sure.
Yeah. And they don't matter to his voters. Right. I mean, there are.
Well, everybody knows that. You can't say that the voters
it's
weren't
baked
eyes
in,
open.
Right?
It's baked in. So it is there. They assume that risk. That's part of the equation that they took into account. You can't say they didn't know.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Travel safe, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good day.
The former governor of the state, Tim Pawlenty. Other political guests we'll have today, you probably expected this, Dean Phillips is going to be with us at 105. Former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd. Trifecta might be done. I mean, as of today, it's done because it's tied, but some of the races are so close in the House We'll have a recount with multiple races. We're still going to have some fun with Rena. I'm sure we'll talk politics with Rena. But let's do this. Let's pause. We're going to get to a lot of issues today, including the one I mentioned with Tim Pawlenty. If you are a Trump supporter, you should be happy as hell today, man. You should be gleeful. What excites you most about the upcoming 4 years? And if you're someone who cannot believe Donald Trump's coming back for the next 4 years, what concerns you most? I'd love a phone call or two on this topic, but if you'd rather text, that's fine. It's your call. StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dave, what do we have for a music theme here at 26 past 12, the day after Donald Trump is going to win in a landslide? Michigan just called, CNN just called Michigan for Trump. Seemed like they could have called that much earlier, considering the lead, but he's up to 291 in that area. We're about to get a lot of texts here. What excites you most about the Trump administration? What concerns you most? What do we have for a theme?
Well, we kicked it off today, of course, with Rush, one of your favorite bands of all time from the great country of Canada. The theme is bands and musicians from countries that liberals might want to think about moving to if they're actually serious of leaving the country.
Yeah. They're frauds. They're not going anywhere.
Of course they are.
Honestly. You know, I mean, clearly, I'm not going to lie. I didn't consider for a second voting for him. And it's improbable. It's stunning. I'm going nowhere. You know, and again, it wasn't like I thought she was a great candidate. If somebody could tell me one time I said, wow, I'm so excited about Harris.
You just said it.
No. Yeah, good luck finding that. But of the two, did I prefer her? Yeah, absolutely. And she was crushed. This guy is a historical figure. You may have thought that all along. You may be baffled by it. But you want to just give me credit here? Greatest upset and greatest comeback, I said that days ago. And now everybody's saying it. Come on. Come on. Come over here and pat me on the back. Come on. That doesn't sound like a lot of applause. Okay. Let's get to your text. Hi, Chad. What excites me most is for 1 year Trump has been yakking about how he can end the war, and I'm ready for him to end it. All right. Let's see. He basically said, what, in a 15-minute conversation, he can end that. How much of that is ended by just saying, Vladimir, how much do you want? Okay. What excites me most about a Trump term, reading a lot of texts, and thank you so much for all the texts, and listening, a wall, law and order, common sense policy, and he's been here before. More texts. I can't say there's anything that excites me about this narcissistic, despicable person running our country. Doesn't really sound like a Trump supporter, does it? Just a hunch?
No, not seeing, unless they're referring to Joe Biden.
Yeah. As a homeowner and homeowner, I am tired, by the way, boys and girls. We were on the air till 2, and then I stayed up watching it till about 5:30. So there's not a lot of rest for me, so I apologize. As a homeowner and stockholder, the last 8 years have been great for me, is both a record high. As a citizen, I'm afraid he'll surrender Ukraine to Russia. More federal spending deficits, keeping interest rates and inflation high. Yeah, I mean, the stock market today, I'm about to take a look. Woo! Pretty good. Drilling the environment. More text here. I'm concerned about the economy under Trump. I would have liked former Governor Pawlenty to explain his comment. The economy will be better under Trump. We pay for tariffs. That's a big thing, Dave. Like, how many tariffs are actually going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
He is, listen, people love his bluster. Most of his bluster I find loathsome. Okay, let me be clear about it. He's a bully, in my opinion. Again, you don't have to agree. And by the way, he won decisively, right? On the tariffs, I'm still looking for an economist who thinks if he actually follows up on what he's saying will be great for the economy. Now, if he can get us better deals by hard negotiating, great. Let me be as clear as possible. I hope Donald Trump is a brilliant president. I am a citizen of this country. I'm not going anywhere as long as my health holds up, but my health is fine. So the guy who spoke last night, and we've had so many texts, we're going to get back to these because this is such a huge issue. The guy who spoke last night, I was there in 16 in studio, and I was there last night in studio, when Trump gave, I think, Dave, a fairly similar speech where there wasn't as much of playing the campaign hits. There was some of it, and I thought the same thing 16. Now, last night, it was a lot of the weave, like, hey, Dana White, come up here. Hey, the leaders of the campaign. Where's Bryson? You know, but there was a fair amount last night. I'm going to bring us together. I'm going to bring the country together. And if you remember, after the remarkable upset in 16, when for a couple months he was bringing people to Trump Tower, there were, I mean, of course, primarily Republicans. He won. He identifies himself as a Republican. So guess what? He's going to. But he brought in a cross-section. I would love if he would work more vigorously with the Democrats. Those are his words. Do you believe that? Because I don't.
No.
I want that to happen. I want Democrats to work more with Republicans, okay? But I would love for his words to match his actions coming up. Do you honestly believe that he is going to work in a significant way with Democrats? I don't think he is. And I think the pattern is clear from his first 4 years and what he has said so far.
No, I don't believe it. I wouldn't believe it from the other side either. It's just that's not how politics works in 2024 in America.
She said that, and Biden did have a pattern. And by the way, you do need an equal partner on the other side, right? Democrats would have to go further in reaching out to Trump. And if Harris would have won, then Republicans would have needed to go further. I'm somebody who is in the middle. No doubt I wanted no part of this guy. I'm not going to lie. I'm not excited about it, but I'm not melting down. I'm not unraveling. He's going to be the president. Listen, he does have greater freedom. There's no doubt. Do I fear for the end of our democracy? I don't. I don't spend 1 second fearing for the end of our democracy. I worry about him with unchecked power. Yes, I do. But we still have enormous guardrails from that happening. There's going to be plenty of time to continue to include you because we should include you on a day like this. But let's pause. Let's talk to Rena. We'll talk about Rena's coverage and probably get away from politics very briefly, maybe the only part of the show. But let's see where it goes. We always have fun with Rena Sargentopoulos from Care 11. She's next. Rena is here, and Rena is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm aces. How are you today?
I'm okay, a little tired. We were going at it on CCO Radio late. You were a part of Care 11's coverage with streaming tell people about it. I'm sure plenty of people listening participated, but tell people about what was taking place last night.
We were streaming. I think we just ended the stream actually at noon. We started at 5:30 last night and live continuous coverage all the way up until noon today. So we had experts on and analysts, and we went to all the parties around town, and we had people everywhere out in Washington, D.C., at the GOP, at the DFL, down in Mankato, in Wisconsin. We had crews everywhere. So it was kind of interesting because, you know, normally when you're doing wall-to-wall coverage like that, it's usually breaking news and on broadcast. So this is like a different entity. And I'm not going to lie, I had no idea what Care 11 Plus was until like a month ago. So here we are.
Yeah. I appreciate the honesty, because I'll tell you right now, as someone who watches Care 11 and has watched Care 11 throughout my life, I've never heard of Care 11 Plus. You know,
okay,
so let
me just explain this real quick.
Yep.
It's an app for your smart TV. So either you know how like when you go onto your TV and you like click down to apps and you're like, oh, I'm going to put on Hulu, I'm going to put on Disney Plus.
Right.
It
mm-hmm.
is an app for your smart TV that you can download so that you can go to it. It has news 24/7, and then also, you know, different things that we've done in the past that you can click on, and you can get it on Amazon Fire TV. You can get it on Roku. You can get it on Apple TV. So, but that's what it is. It's an app where you can stream news 24/7 all the time.
Okay. How did it feel then, if it's different than traditional coverage where you're still covering, but you're trying to cover in a different way? I mean, how did you try to distinguish from, okay, if you're normally on the set with the cut-ins when NBC News is not handling the majority of the coverage?
We were in the studio the entire time. We never left the studio.
Maybe I didn't say it right. She's just trying to be a little different in the approach.
We weren't. We handled it just like we would handle news.
Okay.
The only difference is apparently we can swear, which I opted not to do because there's no FCC
really?
On the stream. Yeah.
Okay. Who was with you?
Julie Nelson, Chris Rapsky, Jana Shortle, John Croman.
Yeah. Normal crew.
We had Jeff Hayden and Brian McClung as our GOP and DFL strategists, or analysts, I should say. We had all the reporters. We probably had 9-10 reporters out in the field. It was the whole gang here.
Did someone swear?
No one swore.
No.
Did they
announce, hey, if you want to add some flavor, go ahead, say the F word or whatever?
Well, I did at one point. Jeff Hayden was saying something that he said, oh, this person's some terrible things that we can't even say on TV. I said, we're on live stream. You can say whatever you want. But he chose not to. He censored himself.
Yeah. Part of the storyline, and the biggest part of the storyline, is Donald Trump staged another historical part of his life, from the greatest upset to the greatest comeback, but also a female president will not happen again. And we are 47 for 47. You are a journalist, but we are reporting that you're also a female. How do you feel about females, politics? What is a fair part of the conversation? What is, no, you're reaching when you bring out the female part of the equation? Where do you stand on that part of the kind of the look back on this election when we're still trying to wait for the final declarations on a couple last states?
That's hard because, you know, I am a female, and no matter if you disagree with me, then, you know, I'm wrong and I'm terrible and I'm bad at my job and all the stuff and all the things. But as a woman, it is disheartening to me, and I don't mean this woman in particular. I just mean it is disheartening to me as a woman that we can't seem to elevate a woman to this level in this country. There are countries that would be shocking to you if you knew they had, at some point in their history, even decades ago, elected a female leader. And somehow we can't seem to do that in this country. And unfortunately, people don't want to hear this, but when someone is male and they're unlikable, they're seen as tough and they're seen as, you know, a leader. But if someone is unlikable and they're female, then they're that B word. And I just don't like them. That's the reason I'm not voting for them, is that I don't like them. And that is a gender issue. It is a, whether people realize they're doing it or not, women fall under whatever crack it is, because men rise in this country. They just do. And I think even some men do it, not consciously.
I think that is a very valid point in many ways, including for the folks who are picking and choosing what they heard you say. This isn't Rena in any way saying, well, the reason why Kamala Harris lost is because she's female. There are people in this country who will intentionally vote for Harris because she's a female. But we still are not at the point, in my opinion, where the totality of the voters will view a female candidate the same as a male candidate. And by the way, Donald Trump, considering the gains he made, most likely would have beat a male or a female. But you can have the duality of the conversation and say, where is this going? And Trump is incredibly unique, where his supporters love the bullying comments, the brusque comments, the outlandish comments. They think that's great. Others, including myself, are like, my God, I mean, does it ever end? And that would be an example of a female politician, not to the Trump level, because nobody's to the Trump level, but female politicians, while in a much better position than 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, still are not close to that same footing as male politicians. And by the way, there's a trickle-down effect to that in our society. While, again, 20, 40, 60, 80 years ago, we're immensely better. Do we still have a ways to go? Without a doubt.
And if you can't honestly sit back and think about this logically and critically and come to the conclusion, again, I'm the kind of person that feels like you should vote for the right candidate. I would never vote for someone just because they were female. So that is, that is not how I view politics. But the fact that we can't elevate a woman to that level because they are seen differently as men, they are perceived differently than men, you have to be able at this point to say that is true.
Yeah, and I think probably somebody will announce for the presidency in the next week. I mean, honestly, it never stops. But let's say when it's more realistic in like about 3 years. I wonder if the Democrats, like Gretchen Whitmer, could be a factor. There's other females across the country who are in business, who are in the Senate, who are governors. I wonder if that'll be a part of the debate. I just don't know how significant a part of the debate it will be, where Democrats will say, unfortunately, we're still fearful of how certain female politicians, or maybe all female politicians, will play nationally. Now, again, in this state, we have Amy Klobuchar, we have Tina Smith, we have Angie Craig, we have elected women across country in business. So I'm not saying it's a glass ceiling and no one has a chance, but it is a part of the conversation which should not be avoided.
And to be fair, Kamala Harris was elected as a woman to a high office as vice president.
Yes.
And I know people don't think much of the vice presidency, but that could have very, especially going against Trump on a second term, that could have very well hurt the Biden ticket by announcing that there was a woman on as his vice presidential pick, and they won. So, I mean, that's a step forward for women for sure.
The bigger issues for me why Donald Trump won is the incredible loyalty he has within what is his party now. It is his party. The fact that poll after poll, as I was saying to former Governor Plenty, showed folks just favoring Trump on the economy, on immigration, on safety. So if Joe Biden would have picked a male vice president, Donald Trump still may have won because of that support.
The issues. Yes.
With the issues which matter most. But the female conversation is worth having. All right, go get some rest. I mean, how's your daughter? What's going on? How did the parade? I know you didn't get to attend the parade, but how did the Halloween parade go?
Oh, it was very cute. It was kind of sad. My daughter's so into Halloween, and then our little friends from next door moved away, so it was just her and I. And I think that was kind of sad because we'd go up to the house, and she's kind of shy anyway. So after like a block, she was like, let's just go home.
Oh, jeez. So I felt
really bad for her.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, hopefully more friends are coming to the mix. If not, maybe Uncle Dave. Yeah. Uncle Dave Harrigan next year can go.
I invited him. He said, "Yeah, absolutely not under any circumstances."
Yeah, he wanted. Harrigan, do you want any part of that parade?
That was the reason I stayed away. No parade. Yeah. Can't be a part of that.
Yeah.
If it's just trick-or-treating, I'm in.
Yeah. Thank you, Rena. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Rena Sargentopoulos. It's 52 past 12 on News Talk 830 WCCO. The full memo email to the campaign staff has been reported in the last few minutes where they are admitting to their staffers' defeat. Hello, we know that, but that's been out there. Dave, the last I saw is that the vice president had tried to reach out to President-elect Trump, but they had not connected. Has that changed? I don't think that's changed, right?
I've not seen otherwise.
She is expected to address the nation at 3. 2 points. I am not saying that Donald Trump only won because of female. Clear. I made that point repeatedly. I made that point repeatedly in this. Kamala Harris was a mediocre candidate at best. Also, I have definite concerns about Donald Trump and his next term, okay, and what could happen, including the buffoon RFK Jr. My point was, I think we have enough guardrails in place where our democracy, our republic will not end. But I'd pick about 300 million people ahead of Donald Trump. But our democracy is not going to end in the next 4 years. His unchecked power, yeah, I'll be concerned about that a lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.